Jesus' name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, oh, what a day. Father, this late hour that we're living in. Father, how the prophets and all look down through time, long to be here, Lord. Father, you chose us. Father, it's so close to your coming. Lord, we can see the times and the prophecies being fulfilled. Lord, the conditions of the world. Lord Jesus. But Lord, it also puts a soberness in our hearts. Father, may we be ready. Lord, search us. Guide us. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. May your will be done. Lord, we come tonight, Father, with that in mind. Lord, as you speak to us, Lord, reveal it to us, Lord. Show us where to walk and how to act. Lord, we'll be pleasing in your sight. Father, these few songs you've laid on our heart, Lord, I pray that you, Lord, just clear our minds, Father, that it be good ground for your word to take root. Lord Jesus, leave the world outside. We ask this and we thank you so much for everything. Precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. I like to sing in our Only Believe books. Page 120. Amen. There's room. If you feel it call in your heart, saints, to give in your life, there's room. Amen.
I heard my love. There's room at the fountain for thee. Come wash the sins of sin away. There's room at the fountain for thee. Room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for thee. Room, room. Fountain for thee.
46. Amen. A little sunlight. Hallelujah.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of
sunlight in your life.
Yes.
Amen. He's so wonderful to us. Praise his name. Page 185. Let's sing this little song. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Truly I am, saints. Where would I be without him?
I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. It had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh. sing that first verse again. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. I'm truly so thankful, saints. What he's done for me, oh, she should be too. It's so wonderful. So precious. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, you come up. Sing a little chorus, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's how you let him know you love him, saints.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou spirit divine, all my nature refine.
Father, we're so thankful that you make this opportunity for us, that we could come and present our needs before you. And oh Lord, as we're asking, that Father, as our voice goes up to you, it goes through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. And Father, that every sin has been washed away, and we can come before you, Lord, without condemnation. And we can ask, and you said you'd give the very desire. Father, by grace, you've placed in our hearts to ask only according to your will. Lord, so it's such a blessing that we can come tonight. And Father, each petition bring before you. But Lord, if every hand went up, maybe even a hand didn't go up. But Lord, maybe there's unspoken things in people's hearts that you know all about. But Lord, you truly know everything about the situation. You know everything about what's going on. Taking place. You know the very desire of every heart, the sicknesses, Lord, the very needs, whatever it may be. And Father, we present it to you now. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would meet these needs in our lives. The Father needs it often, Lord, we know each one as we stand here. It's things that we can't control. It's things, Lord, that we cannot fix. It's things that we can't take care of. Lord, you're the God Almighty, the Jehovah Jireh. The Father specializes in things thought impossible. So we ask that you would just bless us now. And Father, may everything be met to your glory and honor. Bless the remainder of the service, we ask. And bless our brothers. He brings forth the word. Make it easy for him. And we ask that you'd help him, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be pulling. Lord, just measure ourselves up by the word of God. We ask that you would help us do that now. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
shepherd of my valley. Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. Oh, when I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I'm thirsty, he is my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I?
Let's all stand, sing a little chorus, Only Believes, ask our brother to come. Precious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come. And Lord, just praying that you'll take these few words you've laid upon my heart for this evening. The Lord, it'll be of a strength and encouragement to someone, Lord, and to help us keep on our journey. And Lord, may it just stir our hearts in the way back to your word. And Lord, you know what's needful. And Father, why these things are laid upon our hearts to bring, Lord, only you know. For Lord, there's many things that a person could preach on. But Lord, we only can go on what we feel led to bring. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word, for it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, it is what sustains us as we go through each and every day. And we're thankful, Lord, for that. And we just ask that you would impart this portion tonight to our hearts. Lord, that it may help us in some way, we pray. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn over to Luke, the 16th chapter, and read a very small scripture here, and then you can be seated. Amen. Just a little thought on our hearts this evening, and we'll read this and tie a few more scriptures into here, and just a few quotes. Prophet left us, but praying it'll be of a help. Amen. Yes, amen. But Luke 16 and the 16th verse, and just a very small scripture. But the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Amen. If we put a little title or a little thought to some of the things we're going to read this evening, and I may see a little roundabout way for me to some of the things I'll read, but as just a title, it's staying the course. And you know, if you look up the word stay in the dictionary, it says to keep going strongly to the end of the race or contest, to pursue a difficult task or activity to the end. Amen. And that's what we're looking for, is the end of this journey. Amen. As we spoke a few things last Thursday evening, I believe it was, on, you know, talking about the race and Paul and the things he said. But just kind of take a little different avenue this evening. But if you would, I'm going to read a few scriptures. They're short. You're welcome to turn with me if you wish. But I'm going to go to Hebrews and read here in the first chapter, just to put these all together with this. Yes. As we think about. But in Hebrews 1, amen. Paul speaking, but he said, so think about these little scriptures. Brother Branham quoted this a lot. But God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he has made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. So think about who is speaking to us. Amen. Through all that we've heard. And as we would, let's go over here to 2 Peter. And just capture 2 Peter. Amen. 2 Peter and the first chapter, and about the 10th verse, we'll just catch what Peter is saying here and read on down. It'll just get all kind of blend together here. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. But moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen.
And just keep bear these things in mind for just a moment here. And let's go ahead and go to Galatians, the first chapter, real quick, and read what Paul said. Amen. As we think about the gospel that we're following. Amen. And the things. And Paul here in the first chapter of Galatians, start at the 6th verse. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which was preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do now I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you think about these things, is what Paul, Peter, this closing, as they were putting us into order as Jesus came and began to unfold grace and his great plan of salvation. Yes. You know, it was foretold all through the prophets, and then at the manifestation of the time and place for him to be here, and it took place, all the words that he spoke, and we'll go back and maybe read something here in just a moment, but to think about that, but then to get to this point here and to see the stance that Peter and Paul was able to take upon the word. And as we look to see where we're standing today and realizing that we're getting closer and closer to the appearing of the Lord and realizing the time and the place we're standing, and God sent a messenger in this age, that final messenger to the age, to the last church age, that all things would wrap up under. And to see that we're standing there and to realize that God's word has gone forth, and we see the turmoil that's come into the land, and Christianity is gone from the so-called denominations. Totally see how cold they've really got, and it's just died out. There's nothing left, not even an ember hardly. Yeah. And we see the message churches are kind of following after the pattern of them to a degree. And you know, and it's only been, when you stop to think about it, and this is kind of what got me thinking about this, is 65 till now, you know, we're not talking a long, long time. And I didn't do the math, but, you know, probably 60-some years, close there, long about. And when you see the turmoil that we've got into, and with the message seems to be all jumbled and turned around. But, you know, I think about Paul. When he brought the gospel that he brought, and he laid it down, and this is it. Don't move from it. This is it. And look where it went down through the ages to where we're standing today. And God sent back a messenger in this age to tie all the loose ends back up. Didn't add nothing back to it, but pointed it right back to where it began. And showing, here's the plan. Here's the message that was delivered. This is where the bride's going to be. This is how it's going to be. This is what she's got to be. Amen. So if we could just think about that just for a moment, the message hasn't changed since the day Paul delivered it right here. Right. It's the same through every age. Messengers, as it faded off, and as God began to restore, it was the same message. It came off of the same pages. And through the speaking of our Lord began to preach, and brought right down through as Paul grasping the revelation of those things that was spoken, and God revealing himself, and then moving right on with it to bring it to the age which we're standing today. As our prophet come on the scene, and God spoke to him and delivered the word for this age and this hour. And I want you to think back now as we look, as I said, for us it's only been roughly about 60 years. And we look at all the word that's laying here and all the fullness that we have the ability to see, because we're at the end. Yeah. Everything that's happened, everything God has done, now we can look back and see what we could say is a God of history. We can see him as he come up through, and realizing that he said he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can look back and we see that coming right on down the line. that what he did yesterday, he did the next day. And now today we can look and say, yesterday, but he'll do it today. And he shall forevermore. Never change. And I want you to think, though, as we look back now, think of Noah. As we know that the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And I was thinking of Noah. You know, he had a message. We got to save, repent, and let's save ourselves by getting in this boat. That was the ark of safety. That was the way to pass all that was facing them at that time. And for 120 years, his message never changed. You know, you think about that. Sometimes I don't think we grasp what he had to preach. How simple his message may have seemed. It seemed like every time he's telling them, you need to change your ways. You know what God expects of us. You know what we've been taught. Look what you've left. Look where you've went away from. And this is the only ark that's going to save us, because God said he's going to wash this clean with water. That's the only thing that's going to take us out of here. 120 years, can you imagine? No, but none of us will ever live to see 120. And Noah was preaching the same message over and over and over, and it just seemed to fall on deaf ears. And you know, but Noah didn't give up. He just kept on away. And you know, Brother Branham, as you think about this, I want you to think of a couple quotes that Brother Branham made. This was in the message, Perseverant. This was preached July 19th, 1962. In paragraph 76, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Notice in there now, they were smart, but Noah had talked to God. No matter how much his message didn't meet with their scientific thoughts, he still went on because he had heard God. He built the ark just the same. And let's look at it a moment. While we're on the subject, I can see the time come and the people laugh at him standing around every day, watching him fitting the timbers in, he and his family. But they said, say, Noah, I want to ask you something, great scientist, you know. We can shoot the moon with our radar. I want to ask you something. Show me where there's rain up there in the sky. Show me where there's water up there. There's none up there. Noah, you said it's going to come down. Now, where's it at to come down? We can scientifically prove that there's none of it with our instrument here to do with. Stop, man. You're an insane man. You're going mad. Quit building on that nonsense ark. Come on down and join up with the rest of us, and let's eat and drink and be merry. But Noah had heard God, and he said, I don't care if your instrument shows there's nothing there. If God said it will be there, he is able to put it there. And he was persistent. He put the gunnels in the boat, and he fixed the sides and got ready. And when he got it all built, he stood in the door of the ark and preached salvation only by the entering of the door. And they laughed at him. Just think of it. How long did our prophet, he was here, he said, California was going to go under. He told us all these things. He showed it back to the scriptures of what was going to take place. And of concerning Israel and the different things that was hidden in the scriptures and through those seals. Showing forth. But one day he began to notice, here come the male and the female lion, the male and female horse, and all of them began to come into the ark, and God said, get ready, Noah, I've had enough of their carrying on, of their unbelief. I'm going to send the judgment that I promised. And just think of that. To them animals coming to that ark was the same as we today. No, God has made a promise, and we're seeing the signs throughout the land of what's fixing to come. It's the testament that what God said he was going to do, he's going to do. And you see it taking place. You see it happening. And it's not a time to be, we should be concerned. We should be seeking out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But it's not a time to be scared. We know we are not children of the night. But we've been of the day. God has so graciously revealed himself to us and showed us where to stand and showed us how to stand. And that's, as you think about it, Noah kept on. He could have given up and said, well, the ark don't need to be this good. It don't need this much pitch. I don't need it. No, he never done that. The message came, build it this way and make it like this, and it'll float when the time comes. Amen. And you know, today, it doesn't matter how many people around this message want to say it's okay to go ahead and nip your hair. Go ahead and put a little makeup on your face. It's okay to go do this. Dress how you want to. It don't matter. The message came just the same. It was delivered. God's voice spoke forth through that prophet of this day. The message was delivered, cut and dried. And there's nobody got any room to take from it or add to it. He said, say it the way I said, and there it lays. But you know, people today want to forget that that was the voice that declared the message to us. And then they want to take it off on their own preachers and their own people that come along and say, it don't have to be like that. He didn't mean that. They don't have no right. When God once delivered his message, he meant it just like he said it'll be the way he said it's going to be. And oh, if we but would take heed to the way he preached it and delivered it. If the message churches around the land would just take heed to what's on the tapes alone and live by it, what a difference it would make in people's hearts and lives. What a difference it might make in our hearts and lives, maybe as individuals, if we would just take a little more earnest heed, as Paul said, to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. When you think about it, the message has come. It is here. We need a revelation of everything that has been brought. We need God to open our eyes up and give us eyes to have the things which we have heard. Yes, we've heard, but have we truly had our eyes free to see what God's got laying in front of us? But oh, think about it as he goes on here. He says, but one day he began to notice, and here come the male and the female lion, the male and female horse, and all of them began to come in the ark. And God said, get ready, Noah. I've had enough of their carrying on and of their unbelief. I'm going to send the judgment that I promised. Well, brother and sister, I say this, and I hope you don't think I'm a fanatic, but I believe that the very same repeating is at hand. God has got enough of this scientific moon shooting missile dropping age that we're in. And it's another Tower of Babel. And don't you know that God will destroy this earth? He said he would. And that's the reason I'm out here tonight. That's the reason we're trying to press forward to get every soul that we can. Because the long suffering of God in the days of Noah is the same as it is now. Not willing that any should perish. But God sent every kind of a gift that he can before the people. And still they stay without the kingdom. It's because much of it comes from the pulpit. We know that a denial of the days of miracles, denial of the Holy Ghost and so forth that brings. And now we notice what's taken place one day when Noah went in and his family. I can hear them say, there's your old stinking animals. Go on, live with them now. Oh, their great classical age, you know, that they lived. And then the door shut behind. Yeah. And there was some borderline believers that used to attend the meetings of Noah. And just like there is now, people sit around all the time in church, but they never make a move to come forward. Amen. They enjoy hearing the pastor preach something or another, but they never make a move forward. And then the first thing, never want to put their hands to it, so they don't want to be identified with it. But Brother Branham says, but brother, oh brother, I'm so glad to be identified with it. I want my credentials and know that I'm one of them. The greatest honor I ever had is to be identified with the people that's called crazy for the gospel's sake. And oh my, I know, you know, when you take a stance on the word and you say yes, a lady and a sister should look holiness, it's here, it's in the Bible. Modest apparel, modest dress. Men, we go forth looking like Christians. We act like Christians. Our conversations are holy. We're not mixed up in the things of the world. We're not caught up in the entertainments and the ball games and all the world has to offer. But our focus is on Jesus Christ. And people say, you go too far. You don't have to live like that. Come out here and mingle a little bit. You'll find it's okay. Get that little bride, wherever she is, there's something about her. Her attention's been caught up to something much higher than anything this world has to offer. And oh my, she's got her vision has turned heavenly. Amen. Yes. But as we think about that, as I said, the message has not changed. It went out. It's been delivered. And look how long it's been laying here. And oh my, how many has wanted to tamper with it? How many want to twist it? How many want to go this way? Or to make some excuse that it couldn't be the way that it was delivered. He meant this, he meant that, and just every which direction you can turn it. And how you could see, even Paul, as he said, knowing that grievous wolves are going to enter in after my departure. And you see it all through the scripture, the same type, Satan's same tactics, trying. But there's a little predestinated seed that can't help themselves. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, that just a ring of truth in that to their hearts. That, Lord, show me what you said and show me where to stand, and that's where I'll be, Lord. Amen. And how, as we come down to these final moments of time, as I said, staying the course, it's difficult. Many may get tired and want to sit down. Oh, it's getting awful rough. I think we'll just take a rest. Press, we're almost home, saints. We're almost there. Amen. Here in this was in the church age book. It's chapter 4, and I don't actually have a page number, but it was in the Smyrnian Church Age. But just to refresh our minds to this, you've read this many times, but just I thought it went good with thinking of this. He says, "Now we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. And let me show you most clearly. The seven ages is set forth in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Take in the whole span and the fullness of the Gentiles, or the whole time in which God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation in every single age, bar none. And it says that the very same thing in the opening and closing message to each age, unto the messenger of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, write these things, saith he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age addresses himself to the only one person relative to the word for that age. Only one messenger to each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age, and that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, both true and false. And the message is then broadcast to all. But though it is broadcast for all who come within range of the message, that message is received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by the way of the messenger. And those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation. But each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. Now think it not strange that this is the case, for Paul set the pattern under the hand of God. Paul alone had the full revelation for his day as the evidence by his confirmation from the other apostles who admitted that Paul was the prophet messenger to the Gentiles for that day. And also note by actual illustration in the word that when Paul desired to go to Asia, God forbade him, for the sheep, his children, were in Macedonia. And they, the Macedonians, would hear what the Spirit had to say through Paul, and while the people in Asia would not. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. And that is why light comes through God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, then spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said, 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Yes. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here and take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has put one voice, which is the voice of God. And Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. And oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers, and then say what they have been given to say to the churches. Mm-hmm. And as you think about what he said there, I would like to go back here to Luke, the 16th chapter again. And I'd like to read this as Jesus put this into just the context of the whole chapter as he was speaking. But in 16, and we'll start at the 14th verse and then read back down through past the 16th. But listen to what Jesus is saying here. He says, "And the Pharisees also were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. And whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." And then watch as he goes right into this parable and just let it flow through the end. He says, "And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed to that which would pass from hence to you, cannot neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, wherefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And you know, many people are waiting, maybe hoping in a special kind of way, that the prophet's going to return and straighten things out for them. And you know, I don't know what God's plan will be, how he'll do things. But if we wouldn't hear the voice the day we had a chance to hear it, if he come from the dead to speak to us again, would we believe him then? That's a good question. And I'm not saying one way or another, but Jesus is saying every man's pressing into it. The word has come. Yeah. And they didn't hear them. Why are they? Would they hear him now if they came back from the dead to tell him? I don't think so. You know, you see that. As we think about this, may we take the more earnest heed, as Paul seemed to stress that all through the book of Hebrews. And, you know, take the more earnest heed. Take heed to what's been brought to us and paid for. And as Brother Branham referenced Revelations 2 and 3, I wrote it down, I think. I've got it here. Revelations Amen. It was Revelations 2 and 25 at the end of the chapter. As you think about this, staying the course and finishing this up and holding fast, as the Holy Spirit wrote here in Revelations, and the 25th verse of the second chapter. But we'll start about the 24th just so you catch it. But unto you I say, and unto the rest at Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. I want you to notice the final messaging. In the beginning it was, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church at each one of these. Yes. And right here he's just saying, hold fast. Catch that 21st, but ye have already... But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And then the third chapter, and it's the, let me see. I don't think I wrote down the third chapter. I'll find it here. Amen. But it's along the same words in the third chapter as well, where he says, hold fast. I might have wrote down the wrong chapter, but the expression of holding fast, hold steady to what you have. Don't turn it loose. Don't give up. Don't shed it aside. It's been delivered just the way it was supposed to be brought. Take heed and hold on to it. And you know, Brother Branham, he said, put it, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. In the message, Spiritual Food in Due Season, as he was getting ready to start his message, you'll recognize this as our pastor quotes it frequently. But I wanted to catch the whole little paragraph of what he was saying. He says, and I want you to get built up now in this holy oracles of God in a faith. Yes. The faith of this hour. Amen. The faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age. For this is to be rapturing faith, to be taken up. Yes. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen, heard, and that the word that you have heard preached. The signs and wonders that you have seen done, we want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it, whether that be God or not. Yeah. It is like Elisha of old said, if God be God, then serve him. And if Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian, then I think we ought to let loose of everything else and cleave to him. Yes. Remember, he is the center. He is the North Star. He is the ultimate. He is the absolute, and he is the North Star. There's only one thing that'll point to that North Star. That's your compass that you're sailing with. And the compass that I'm trying to sell, trying to get you to sell with is the Word. And the Word always points to him. And we feel like that we're going through a great time of distress and trials, perplexity of the time and distress between the nations. All kinds of things are happening. And sometimes I get engulfed like everywhere I look. Yeah. It's like a ship out on the sea. Mm-hmm. And I've been given charge of the boat. And how are we going to make it? And here comes one with a white cap and 100 times bigger than my ship. But we'll crest them every one. We are more than victors through him. The captain, the chief captain, has got a hold of the string on the end of the ship. And he'll pull it through. Yes. And we will crest every one of them. Amen. Amen. So just remember, let's stay our course. Yes. Don't waver. Just keep fighting. Hold dear all the word that you have heard. Yes. Hold that precious word close to your heart. And guard it, and oh my, and to bear, and to know that all things are fixing to come to an end. Yes, yes. And you know, as Paul, I believe it was Hebrews 6, let me see. But we see the times, and we see the seasons, and we see everything taking place around us. Yes, but just remember, as Paul put it here, speaking of Abraham in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, in the 13th verse, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. But wherein God, willing more abundant to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter to within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. All saints, he's ever mindful. He's already made the way. And all to make sure that he was more willing abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise. That's us. Amen. Yes, that he truly made sure that we would know it was impossible for God to lie. And that we could truly lay hold of the words that we've heard and the words that we've seen. And all, as Brother Branham said, take and consider all that you've seen. We may not have been able to see with our natural eyes and been in those meetings as things was taking place. But you can look back into God's precious word, and you can look back and listen on the tapes that's been provided and see and hear the moving of the Holy Spirit and know that that was God vindicating. Amen. And proving out. You know, we'll just hold off on that for a minute. Amen. But they've got there's some things that they have started putting out concerning Brother Branham on the good things. It was a video of a full service, and maybe some of you have seen it, that they got put out on YouTube. But with that, there was some other ministers at that time and that was starting, and they put some of their stuff out there too. But just to watch the moving of the Holy Spirit, God was moving. It was a time and a place in that, you know, during the 40s and the 50s. As God was doing and moving through men. Yes. And the move that was on. But there's just something about it. That you, when God began to speak through that last day messenger. When Brother Branham was just a man like you and I. And Paul was just a man like you and I. You know, in the scripture says Paul's sister's son saved him. I don't know if you ever stopped to really catch that in the book of Acts. But one time they had laid wait for Paul. And Paul's sister had a son, which would have been Paul's nephew. And he ran and told and saved Paul's life. Regular men, people like you and I, but preached this gospel because God ordained him to for that work and place. Amen. When you stop to think about that, sometimes we look back and we think that Paul must have been some mighty man in the stature, in a physical human stature. Or we maybe build up, but we've been able to see pictures of Brother Branham, a small, humble man from Kentucky. You know, just looked like another man walking down the street. But when he got underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and God began to speak and deliver the word, the same with Paul, Moses, Elisha, look back down through. The scriptures described and expressed what each one looked like. Even Samson, as God, you know, most people pictured him with big muscles and all, a mighty man. And Brother Branham said he was just a little bitty fella. But oh, look what God can do if you just surrender to him. Amen. And that's what it is, as we see all that he's done and all that God has declared, how it may catch our attention and draw it to our, may our faith be built up into those holy oracles of faith, that this word is it. It's absolute and it becomes our all. And we don't look to nothing else, but truly only consider the promise that God has made. Yes. Abraham didn't look to the left. He didn't look to the right. He only considered what God told him was going to take place. Yes. Noah didn't care what everybody else thought. He looked for one thing God said, and it's all he could see. And may we truly be a people that's all we can see. Yes. Is as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And may we truly let this Bible truly just become a living reality in our hearts, that our lives become a living epistle read of all men truly to others. That it's not just us talking about a message, not just talking about going to church, but people see a living expression. Even if the things our pastor was speaking this morning, as Paul spoke out in that chapter 13, love that never fails. Amen. When you think of these things, how it ought to just becoming a reality to us. And as Brother Branham has said, you can have all the gifts, but just give me that life. And oh my, if I've got that life, you watch, everything else will fall right in time and right in place where God wants it to be. Amen. Hallelujah. But may we stay our course. Let's press the journey. Hallelujah. And don't get weary in well-doing, for faithful is he that promised. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Maybe you can take a little something from it this evening and stir your hearts. You know, it's just so good, amen, to say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. As our pastor mentioned it this morning, I was thinking about that. I'm one of them, amen, that God, by his mercy and grace, has showed his love to. Amen. Oh, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. So glad that I can say I'm one of them. Sing it again. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad? You can say you're one of them. Amen. Well, thank the Lord for his precious word tonight. Did you get something from it? I did. I was thinking about many different channels and avenues and different things. And even as the last mentioned there about that love again, Apostle Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know if you caught it or not, but did you think about it? As he said, it would never fail. Never fail. Why? Because it came from the Holy Ghost through the same nature. It won't fail. That's why we can live. 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. It endureth all things. Oh my, I tell you. Just have your spiritual caps open, thinking caps, and think about it. And just think of the things he said tonight. It just makes you so happy you're one of them. I mean, it really does. It makes me so appreciative to be one of them. Knowing the time and hour we live in. It just makes you want to give your all to Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate this day. So thankful God gave me the opportunity to be here. Amen. And to be service to him and to listen to the word and to draw from him. Amen. Let us bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, again, we appreciate this. As the prophets say, we say many times, Lord, a grand opportunity. Lord, and truly it is. When I think about, Father, the times that you give us together here, and what it means to us as individuals, Lord, and to think of how many millions and millions of people on the earth would rather be out doing different things to please the flesh, and Lord, things that would be more satisfying as far as the carnal mind, and Lord, there's so many entertainments and things throughout the land that, Father, the flesh draws for. But yet, Lord, to an elected people, you place something in her heart that draws her, Lord, and she's got a real, genuine thirst. And Father, you told her that she's blessed. For blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Lord, it's after righteousness together under the Word of God and to be fed by the Word of God. And we're so thankful we have a desire to be fed by it. Lord, these things may seem simple, but yet it's so great. It's so magnificent, Lord, how you have taken care of now that you would bless us as we part from here. And Father, bless those who couldn't be here. And Father, may they have been able to listen to the way of online, Father, and get their portion of the food they have need of. And Lord Jesus, that we'd all grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, the unity of the faith. Lord, that's what we want to be. And we want to see this work finished in our life. So we ask that you bless us now. Go with us, keep us safe upon the highways. Bring us back again, Lord, we ask the next appointed time. And again, Lord, any of us, Lord, that needs a little special touch tonight, Lord, may you reach down and touch them. And Lord, give them a special blessing of peace and love and tender touch, Lord, that oftentimes we need when we're going through the trials of life. We ask that you would bless now. We ask it through. Bless you until we meet again. If we should tarry, if we should live.